Oh, a smile that can save the night. It goes on and on and on and on. Strangers waiting.
Hello, everyone. We're going to get on in here. I thought we would start listening. If y'all don't know, I have a very wicked Spotify bunch of playlists. So if you're brand new to our membership, if you head on over to Spotify and you look for Corinne Crabtree, C-O-R-I-N-N-E, Crabtree, C-R-A-B-T-R-E-E, you'll find my playlists. I have lots of them. And most of them are very filthy. So if you don't like filthy music, you may not like a lot of my music. But I do have some clean stuff. And one of my favorite playlists that I love to work to, which before I got on with you guys, I was writing copy, which means I am
writing stuff that people are gonna like read, either like in my social media. A lot of copy for you guys, a lot, like I handwrite all of our copy, just, well, I would say 95% of our stuff. Kathy writes some of it, but she proofreads everything for sure. But anyway, one of my favorite lists to write music to or write stuff to is called Fave Cover Songs, which is like acoustic versions of really popular songs and stuff. One of my all-time favorites. I will also tell you that if you are, one of the things that, like, especially if you've been to an event, one of the things that I do is I always play the same music all the time. So like whenever you come to an event, like I'll add music every now and then, but we have the same songs we like to play over and over and over again. And I think that's really important for all of you who are getting into journaling. One of the things that helps you snap into place on like getting in the mood. So like when I want to write, I listen to, a lot of times I listen to Fave cover songs. When I need to focus on content, when I'm like writing a course or brainstorming ideas and stuff, I listen to the Game of Thrones soundtrack. But when they come on, I immediately drop into a certain mindset. It takes so much less time to get started. So, you know, for all of you who are working at home, that happens to be one of my tricks, is having the right music and stuff in the background allows me to like snap into place faster. But for those of you who've come to the events, our worksheets playlist and our music that we play, like while we're, you know, waiting on me to come on stage or between breaks and stuff like that, all the upbeat music, they're all also on there. And those playlists are called, you've got Camp PNP Tribe Worksheets Journaling Music. And then we have Camp PNP Tribe Welcome and Close Music. If you listen to the worksheets journaling music, guys, when you do worksheets here, they're pretty good in terms of like getting you into the right mindset and stuff. So you may want to cue those up when you're doing your No BS worksheets and stuff. Let me see. I have a couple of announcements to make and then we'll get started. So today is coaching. Let me find today's stuff. So first thing, Kathy gave me all my notes to make sure that I cover everything. So let me cover everything and then we're going to get started on coaching. Welcome to our newbies, guys. You are the official April Baby class of 2020. We are so glad to have you guys here. And the doors are closed, so you are the official class and nobody will be getting in right now. So congratulations on making the jump. Let me tell you how Zoom works. This is a Zoom coaching call. So what that means is that, I'm going to have to clean my glasses. What that means is that we have, you'll raise your hand if you want to come on camera and actually get coached with me. So a lot of people have their hands raised. I don't get to everyone. So, you know, we have hundreds of people on this call right now. So I get to as many as I can. What you need to do is, this call is for any kind of coaching. So sometimes we have theme calls and sometimes it's open coaching. Today is open, which means I'll coach on anything that anybody wants to work with. And if I call on you, you need to be sitting down in a quiet environment where no one's going to interrupt you and dogs aren't barking and all that kind of stuff. And don't be walking around. And mainly because I get car sick, you guys are walking around with me, I'm likely to puke. So I always tell everybody, like, for God's sakes, please sit down. So just make sure you're seated. But if you are just here listening, we will not be able to hear you. We will not be able to see you. This is a webinar Zoom call, which means that I am the only person who can be seen and heard unless I promote you to come on camera. And the only way that I'll promote you is if your hand is raised. If your hand's raised, I'll call on you first so you'll know you're getting promoted so that you're not like sitting around somewhere. We have a coach always inside the chat. So there is a chat feature here. All you have to do is if you want to talk to other people is talk to them there. You want to make sure you turn on all panelists and attendees. Otherwise, what will happen, it may actually say everyone in meeting now. I think they changed it. They used to say all the panelists and attendees, but it now says everyone. You want to make sure you turn that on. Otherwise, I'm the only person who'll see it, and I don't participate in the chat. So one of our coaches is always in the chat. I believe it's Kathy today that is over there. So if you have questions, like as we are coaching, and you want to ask one, feel free to ask in the chat, and Kathy will get it answered. I try to get to a couple of Q&As, but I don't always get to the Q&A. So if I don't get to the Q&A, what you can do is you can take your question either to Ask Coaches, or you can take it over to the Facebook group, and it will get answered one way or the other. And then, I think that's everything. All right, so today for newbies, just so everybody knows, the Massive Action Line went out. Our Massive Action Line is our weekly newsletter. If you did not get it, here's what I suggest you do. Check your email today. It went out. It goes out at noon every Sunday. It starts at the top of this call to let people. We do it at the noon so that everybody, we can also say, hey, I'm live right now. So make sure you check your email. If you are like, I'm not getting it, run a search on your inbox first and search for support@pnptribe.com. If you find our emails or you find anything from us going someplace other than your inbox, you need to move them over. We cannot control where Gmail, Hotmail, AOL, like all of those people, we can't control where they send us. Only thing we can do is keep training you to make sure that if you're not getting your weekly email from us, that you're running a check on your entire inbox to make sure that we are on your safe sender list. So the weekly Massive Action Line, what it does is it tells you a little preview for the week. We'll tell you what calls are coming up this week. We usually give you some kind of instruction on what to, like, if there's anything in particular we want to focus on as a group, it will all be in there. If you're new, the only thing you need to know is this. Get through the weight loss quick start. Make sure you've watched those videos. Guys, I would watch it 2 or 3 times. You don't have to watch how to install the Private Member Podcast, but there is literally a Planner 101 and a 4 Basics 101. Get to know that. If you overwhelm easy, watch those videos several times so that you feel really comfortable. Okay, this is really all I need to do to lose weight. I put in the weight loss quick start, the bare bones minimals. I swear to God, if you don't ever change another thought, if you don't ever feel any better, if you could lose weight, depressed as fuck, just doing those things. Now you're here because you don't want to be depressed as fuck. You actually want to start learning how to think better. You want to learn how to let go of fat girl thinking. You want to learn how to go after goals and not be so afraid. Like, you want to learn all that. And that is what we're really good at, and we are going to teach you. But to get started with weight loss, for all of you who overwhelm easy, watch it a few times and remember, it's like, oh, because I say in there, this is how I know some of you watched it once and immediately gone to the deuter, like, I don't know if I can do all this because you forgot every fucking thing I said. Y'all are like, I don't know what to do next. And I literally say like 300 times in those videos, what to do next. You get 2 emails that tell you what to do next, and it's all exactly the same. When you finish, go to No BS, press start. When you finish, hey, I think you should go to No BS and press start. Hey, you know what you should do? Probably go to No BS and you should press start. And there are people up in the Facebook group. There will people be on this call right now, like, there's so much content, like these Q&As, and what if I miss a Zoom call and blah, blah, blah. And I say 5,000 times in those videos, all of this shit plus Facebook, bonus, extra. For those who overwhelm easy, you stay out of there. And yet, you guys lead yourself to the slaughter. So I'm going to say it one more time. If you overwhelm easy, what should you do? Somebody type it. Type it in the chat. I want to make sure you guys are paying attention. If I'm brand new and I overwhelm easy, what's the first thing I should do? Go, no, not go to an OBS. Weight loss quick start again. Listen to the weight loss quick start 2 to 3 times. Get it into your head, like, to not overwhelm. I layer in thousands of times throughout the weight loss quick start to settle your nerves, to not give you much to do, to get you calm and everything. And then once you've done it a few times, you go straight to no BS. Everything else optional. So if you're here and you are overwhelmed, leave the call now. I am not joking. Do not listen to this shit. You should be in the weight loss quick start. You should be in no BS. If you've listened to the weight loss quick start and you're like, okay, I kind of got that, you should go straight to no BS. We don't layer in the stuff that overwhelms us and wonder why we're overwhelmed. Do not be caught up in trying to listen to all the things. Because I have 3 different clients right now inside of this group. I have the one who overwhelms. I have the one who is like, put my mouth straight to the fire hose and turn that son of a bitch wide open. I'm ready. Then I got the person who's in the middle who's picking and choosing. And so I am not going to stop offering all the things. My job is to get you to the middle. If you like fire hose, that's great. But I will tell you, for those of you who like the fire hose, who listen to every single thing, if you're not getting results, quit listening to every single thing and start doing more than you're listening to. I really think the magic's in the middle. I think the magic is in listening and applying. Listening and applying. Hearing one thing and then not trying to listen to all the other stuff and be like, oh, so how can I make this happen this week? And getting really good at that. That's where magic happens. Okay. That was my preach. All right. I'm not sticking to plan. I'm a maintenance since January. I decided a couple of weeks ago I want to lose another 10 pounds, but I'm not doing it. You need to figure out why the fuck you want to lose 10 more pounds. It's all nice and fun to say that, but you need to figure out, number one, why do I want to lose 10 pounds? And number two, you have to like your reason. You've got to really like it. It can't be based in some kind of I'm not good enough shit. Otherwise, you're not going to want to do it. Then the second thing you need to do, Rebecca, is you need to go back and you need to look at, all right, what am I thinking it's going to take to lose 10 pounds? Whatever your definition is, clean up those thoughts around it. Because I guarantee you the reason why you're not doing anything yet is because you think it's going to be hard. You think it's going to take, you're going to have to give up a bunch of shit and all this other kind of stuff. What if you don't have to do any of that? That would be where I would start you. Okay, let's go. Lee Pierce, you're up first. Hey,
camp. I know. I've been super busy.
Hey, so what is your background, man? Is that a Zoom green screen thing?
You haven't heard about the Zoom virtual backgrounds?
No, I've heard about them, but I just nobody's ever used it before on our calls. Yeah, that's why I was just like, what is going on back there? It's changing.
It's all the rage at online teaching, so you're not cool if you don't have one. So I had one up for my aunt. We did a birthday call for my aunt, like a virtual birthday party, so I had her birthday one up. Forgot to take it off, so when I hopped on with you, it was still up there, so I did a switch to my default one.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I'm just old school. I just have a real one.
Well, you have a nice spot for some of us that are in closets right now. It's sort of this is a really cool feature. Yeah, yeah.
No, I made sure to have somebody help me curate the backdrop.
It's beautiful. Yeah, if I had a backdrop like that, I'd use that.
So what are we coaching on, Mama?
Well, it's nice to see you, first of all. I've missed you, too. Did you know we coached on, right around this time 1 year ago was our last coaching call?
I did not know this.
It was, near Easter, I remember.
That's fun.
I know. I was excited to get on. So I released a podcast a couple of weeks ago. And simultaneously with doing that, I also am trying to, pitch articles to popular media and podcasts to become, a public thought leader. This is, my 2020 goal after, yeah. And I'm, the thought I'm having is that none of it's working and nobody cares about what I do. And it's making me, no, it's not making me do anything, but it's, I'm spiraling a lot because then I start to get, I want to get to a place where I've got curiosity about this whole process, just like weight loss, and that I'm doing things because I love to do them. And then the results are just sort of what happens from the effort. But I'm very results focused right now. And all I see are no results.
So if you were going to be finding some results, what results would you be finding? Rather than like deciding that there are none.
I would be, you mean if I were looking for results in what I've got or if I could get.
So you started a podcast, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's pretty good. Most
yes.
people.
Yeah. I'm 7 episodes. Yeah. I'm pretty impressed because I've been saying I was going to do it for years and never did it. So the fact I'm doing it is something to celebrate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except in your brain, you're not celebrating. You're saying, well, you know, like I started a podcast, but.
Well, I celebrated it for a couple weeks and then it was like, well, now I sort of need, I want people to be listening to it and I'm not seeing the numbers going up. I'm seeing them kind of going down a little bit from the initial release, which was mostly family and friends. It's not getting picked up beyond my circle is how I feel about it.
So let me ask you this. How long do you think it should take for a podcast to take off? And what do you think?
Like, I have no idea.
Right.
Certainly not 4 weeks.
But actually you do. You have an idea. It should be happening now. So when I ask you that, you're like, well, I have no idea. But actually you do because you're very disappointed that in 4 weeks your podcast hasn't taken off.
Yeah. but even incremental, like I thought you'd see kind of like a incremental increase after like, you know, but maybe it takes months. I mean, maybe the lifespan on this. And people say there were something like 350,000 new podcasts get made every day or every year, every month or something. I mean, it's a lot, like it's a very flooded market. So the idea that you would shine out as the diamond in only 4 weeks is sort of crazy.
And that's what you have to remind yourself. Like the way that you're talking about it to me is the exact conversation you need to be having when your brain wants to make all this mean it's flopping. It's flopping. Look, I find plenty of evidence if you want to say it's not working, it's like, well, look, in 4 weeks, my numbers are trending down versus it's going to work. And in 4 weeks, I notice the numbers are going down. So I probably just need a strategy to get numbers going up.
Yeah. And it's funny too, because when I keep stealing the phrases I stole to lose my weight and they're the same, phrases, right? Like you just need to keep showing up and the results will come. But when you try to get result, when you try to shortcut the action to get the results and then obsess over the results, right? You just get nowhere. But
yeah, obsessing over the result line. So whether the result is, you know, I don't know how many downloads you're getting a week, let's say 50, right?
That's about right. Yeah.
Okay. So 50 downloads a week or 2 pounds down on the scale or 1 pound over, like when you obsess over the result line, it means you're not doing jack shit to set your results up for getting better.
Right. Right.
Because just thinking about the numbers doesn't produce anything.
No.
Other than anxiety and stress and worry, because they're usually, if you're obsessing about numbers, it's driven from worry or anxiety. It's not driven from curiosity. Curiosity, I will just tell you, is just like with weight loss, it's like with anything, especially in business, it has to be deliberate. Your brain is not going to naturally go to curiosity on how to show up in ways that you've never done before. The brain's job is to keep you from doing that shit. It's dangerous. Uncertainty is dangerous to the brain.
Right.
So if you're going to, the only way to go into the void of uncertainty is to be curious. The brain's going to be like, wow, let's worry. Let's have anxiety because that means you'll stop doing all this uncertain shit.
Yeah. Well, right. It's a recipe for passive action. Cause then you start like checking your followers compulsively for 5 minutes instead of writing the next episode. And you skip.
Exactly. Exactly. So like if you were going to, let's say, in a year from now, you are going to have a successful podcast. We're not going to give it numbers or anything. Let's just pretend it's successful. You need to backtrack this year what would have led to success. And it won't be checking the numbers each day. Checking numbers is like weighing 3 times a day.
Right. I'm weighing more like 20 times a day metaphorically right now.
Yeah. It's like being, how often did I show up with my paper and generate ideas that a thought leader would talk about?
Yeah.
Like how many times did I like flesh out outlines for a topic that somebody wants to hear. I will tell you, I have an extremely successful podcast, and I have not checked a number in probably, it's been on for 3 years, and I bet I've checked the numbers three times.
You have 65,000 reviews if that helps, because I check your numbers. Which, of course,
I know what, like that last count, we had 15 million downloads. Yes. And you know the only reason why I know that number?
For promotion?
No, Brooke asked me.
Oh.
Like, I was like, I don't know. I never look at that shit. Like, I don't even know how to find it. Chris does it. Like, he doesn't even track it because tracking those numbers doesn't really help us.
No, it doesn't. It's unless you can do something with them, which right now the numbers aren't telling anything. So if the numbers ever were telling me something functional, then yeah, great. Do something with
right
them.
Now, you know what the best numbers for you to track are going to be?
How many times I've produced a podcast successfully?
Yeah. Like how many hours are you spending writing content? How many, how many,
that's a good idea.
This week did I sit and write without being distracted? Like track. It's the same thing with like weight loss. It's like, you guys want to obsess over the scale. I'm like, stop obsessing over the scale. If you want to track something, track how many 24-hour plans you made this week. Track how many urges you had this week. Track how, like, track those things. Like, that's worth tracking. Because
I kind of thought about making an urge tracker for this. That's a really good idea.
Yes. I mean, I would do all of it. I will just tell you, like, this morning I was writing my plan for the week, and I was writing down how many pieces of content that I need to write internally and externally that were about thought reversals.
Yeah.
How many thought reversal podcasts, how many thought reversal posts can I come up? And a thought reversal is essentially just like, you think this way. And
sure.
Here's like my suggestion on how to think. I do a lot of that inside the tribe. So like when I do stuff, but I spend so much of my time in the heads of the people I want to speak to. Like I spend a lot of time, like I spend more time in y'all's head probably than my own. And that is worth tracking, like tracking on your calendar, those kinds of hours and stuff. It will train your brain to quit looking at the shit that doesn't really matter.
Right.
Like if you want to look at your podcast numbers, I probably wouldn't look at it more than once a month.
Yeah.
Like, look at it once a month and then see if it grew any. And then go back and do like, just like we do when we do the monthly assessment for weight loss, look back and see what your actions were for the month and what actions do you need to do this month? Like, if I don't like the number of downloads, what actions do I need to do this month to get that up? Like there's going to be the content naturally, but the sharing of the content and possibly getting on other people's podcasts, like things like that. It's just like with weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
We do. It's just like, this is why I love weight loss, because it teaches you guys a rinse and repeat cycle. It's like, if you can lose weight the way that I teach you, you can use it everywhere in your life. It's just a rinse and repeat.
I also have a thought that it's insensitive to promote a podcast during coronavirus.
Yeah, that's a terrible thought. Can you imagine? Hey, all you brand new people, what if I had been in this opening going, oh my gosh. Like, I want to tell you, I had more backlash posts.
Yeah.
I argued with some guy on Instagram the other day. Like,
I saw. Never
argue, and I argued with this dude. I was like, first of all, I just know he's a fucking man. This is why he's saying this shit.
I know.
But it is like, imagine if my thought had been, during a pandemic, we shouldn't be worried about weight loss.
I know.
Like.
Yeah.
This is the way I like to think about it, Lee. During a pandemic is the exact time that we need people showing everyone that our dreams do not get put on hold because of something happening in the world. Like, we can, if you want to worry about the pandemic and you want to be scared and you want to be afraid of the pandemic, you can, while also loving yourself, going after your dreams and changing lives. I have done both now successfully for 3 weeks.
Yeah, I know. Right. Exactly.
I don't have to just be worried and be in a shit show.
Yeah. And also, I mean, it's the internet. Like, you're not forcing anything down anybody's throats. It's like you said, you know, you're on my episode 7.
I saw that. Did you see I shared?
Yes, I appreciate that. You're like the greatest speaker for the value of profanity that I've ever heard. So I was excited to. All right. Well, this is
one of the best compliments I've ever gotten.
Yeah. No, it's true. This has been helpful. I appreciate it. I think I had it in my head that these were in different spheres, but the more you talk about it, the more I do realize that every time I get stuck, just think about what I mean, I say I've never done this before, so I don't know what to do. But if you lost weight, you know what to do. You just do it in a different setting.
If you've lost weight, you can freaking do anything in the world. I'm just going to tell you right now. It teaches you every skill you have.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed.
You just keep, you're so smart. You keep watching for all of the thoughts. You're just going to have a lot of thoughts that are going to be coming from, I'm afraid this won't work. It's like, it's a pandemic and it's this and it's that. You're like, it will give you a host of excuses to stop. I don't want you being mad at yourself about it or I know you won't, but judging yourself or anything. I just want you to be in a real, like, I'm in total awareness. My brain will throw a lot of crap up and this is going to be the next level of work for me. I've already done it once with my weight. I can for sure do it over here too. I can make excuses. I can see justifications. I know what urges are like.
Yep.
It's all of that coming up in a whole different realm. And I know how to go through all of it.
Awesome. Okay. I got it.
Thank you,
Leigh. Thank you.
Seeing you.
Thank you too. You too. Bye.
So y'all don't know, but she was at camp and she's one of the babies. Like I always talk about my babies, all my youngins in the tribe that I'm so proud of who just like, I always like for all you newbies, I always say that we have all of our girls, especially the ones under like, I usually say 35, but even our 30-year-olds, like we have a lot of 20-year-olds in our group. I'm so proud of them because their 40-year-old self is like sitting back like this going, bitch, you did it. Like, she's so proud of y'all. Just saying. She's like, you didn't wait till your 40s and 50s to get your shit together like the rest of us. Oh, Katara.
Okay. Start my video. Hi, Corinne.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you? Long time listener, first time caller.
I was going to say, have you been in the, are you new or are you?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm a January baby. So
okay. All right. Well, I couldn't tell. And I was like, this call always throws me. The first one with babies, because it's like somebody's going to have joined Friday and then suddenly get coached and be like, what is this? I didn't know this is what happened.
Oh, no, I'm not super, super new.
All right. So tell me all the things.
Okay, so this is what's going on. I finally really, like, got back into the program, like, doing my 24-hour plans. I've recently just started back journaling. And in looking at my data from the beginning all the way up until now, I'm noticing that I struggle with dinner time eating. Okay. So I do good with my 2 to 2 for breakfast, lunch, and then dinner happens and I don't know.
Well, tell me this. What is the difference? So when you're eating lunch, you have a collection of thoughts that allow you to eat 2 to 2. That's the only reason why you're eating 2 to 2 at lunch.
Okay.
What you're thinking about.
Okay.
You need to figure out where's the difference. So at lunch, I think these things about 2 to 2. At dinner, I think these things about 2 to 2.
Okay. I don't know. I think maybe it's because during the day I have things going on, I'm doing things. And then when the evening comes, it's like, okay, the day's over. I'm sitting down with my husband. We're having dinner. I was really not, I don't want to say good, but I ate what I was supposed to, you know, during the day. And it's okay. I guess it's okay if I eat, you know, a wee bit more, because it's dinner time and I do feel like I have the capacity for it. You know, I'm not super full. Like, I guess basically what's happening is that I start to overthink maybe my 2 to 2. I'm not sure. Like, I come up with a million different reasons as to what it can be, but I can't really get to the heart of why is it that I'm going slightly rogue around dinner time.
It's going to be something simple. I think you have it in your head. It's going to be like mystifying or deep or something. It's going to be something super simple. Like lunchtime is, I got to get back to work. I don't know. Like, what do you think when you're like, if you're not overthinking at lunch, what are the simple thoughts you have at lunch?
I don't know. At lunch, it's just, okay, I feel like I'm getting kind of hungry now, you know, let me sit down and have my meal while I do work or listen to a podcast or whatever. you know, and that's it. I think the difference is I'm usually eating breakfast and lunch by myself. And at dinner time, I'm with my husband and we're talking and we're eating and stuff. And I associate, I guess, eating sort of with community and happiness. But I thought that that was something that I'd kind of conquered already, but I guess not.
Probably not. And it's not like a big, it's not like a big eating disorder issue or anything. It's just like that simple little, well, it's fun to eat with my husband. Rather than it's fun to be with my husband, I'll stop at my two. Mm. I mean, it's literally a micro shift.
Yeah, that actually makes sense. I'm kicking myself because I didn't.
But that, like, this is so, like, I'm glad you asked about it because this is one of those things where I think a lot of us, I think we associate sometimes our eating as it must be, like, if we're over, it must be a problem. I mean, it's got to be a problem. And if it's got to be a problem, it is probably like something that I'm just not going to know. And I just don't even know what to, like, we talk ourselves. It's almost like we get so worked up about it. We miss like the obvious things. And for a lot of people, I would say 80% of our group, the overeating is not nearly as big of a problem as you make it out to be. It's the judgment around the problem or the judgment around yourself and all of that. That's the real problem. It's like, I literally, my thought about your eating was really simple. Well, there's got to be something different she's thinking between lunch and dinner. If she can do it here, she can do it here. So we just need to figure out what that is. Do you notice how boring it was for me?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it was just boring. Like, it was just like, and I don't mean boring in a bad way, but just like, yeah, we'll figure this out. This is easy. Like, it was just like, okay. But you're like, you know, I'm really having a hard time, you know, identifying my hunger at night, and I'm sitting here with my husband, and I just really don't know, and I've really thought about this, and you know what I mean? Like there's the reason why I can get there faster is because I don't have all the extra story around it. And for you guys, that's what you have. Like, when you notice, like, I'm really good at identifying my hunger scale at breakfast and lunch. So there is a collection of thoughts and something happening there that works beautifully. So right. The only difference between dinner and there is got to be a thought that's not like that. So let me just find the difference. And then when I find the difference, I just have to tweak what's going on at dinner. So I just think for you, it's like you came to your own conclusion. I just kept making you answer your own question over and over again. Because to me, it's solvable and it's not a problem. And I know you know.
I really thought that it was something bigger, you know, and deeper going on. I was like, well, what if it means that I'm just super, super hungry, you know, at dinner time? Like, I had, Corinne, I kid you not, I had a million thoughts in my head as to what it could be.
I think it just means you're at dinner and you're absorbed with your husband.
Yeah.
And it's like, and you're telling yourself like, oh, and we're connecting. Cause I think at lunch and at breakfast, I think it's almost a little boring too. It's like, I'm just having lunch and breakfast. I'm going to listen to a podcast. Like, there wasn't an exciting story around that.
Nope. Not at all.
When you talked about dinner, it was very exciting. It was like, let me tell you the story of dinner and why it's not happening. And, you know, and it's my husband and we're connecting and communing. And it's like, the easy solve is to start teaching yourself like, okay, I'm going to connect and commune with my husband at dinner. And I'm also going to eat to my plus two. And that doesn't have anything to do with the connection and the communing. They just happen to be happening at the same time. So there's like, think of it almost as two models. You have like your husband and your connection and communing. So let me show you real quick. Rip my cord off. I'm all tethered. So if you look at it in the model, like, I just want you to think of you're having two separate models right now, all at the same time, which happens all the time. We have models just running simultaneously. So if you feel connection here, the action is communing. So that would be like you're talking, you're being together type stuff. this is happening. And then you have another model where you have your plus two, where what we need the feeling here to be is connection to your body. And the action is just paying attention and stopping.
Okay.
So I want you to be thinking about there's the husband model. And then there's the food model.
Okay.
I need your brain to separate it because right now they're very married. It's like there's husband and food and all of this provides connection to him. And it's like, no, what provides connection to your husband is your thoughts. I'm going to just do a thought bubble that you have about him. So like when you're feeling connected and you're communing, it's because you're thinking things like, I love being with him. And, you know, this is our connection time. And this is what we, you know, this is us together. That's what's providing this part. The food is not doing any of it. You have a thought about the food. This model's busted. This is the one we want. Well, I want you connected to yourself, but your thought is, I need to keep eating to keep this going.
Gotcha.
And I need you to realize I can quit eating and still think amazing things about my husband and keep this going.
Makes sense.
Okay.
Okay.
That's a good one. I tell you, I have struggled with this model for years. Like, and it was around wine. Like, it's like, you know.
I love wine.
And I was like, you know, this is when we connect. We have wine. And I made all of it about, like, the whole thing. And when I really started pulling apart what was happening, like, why was I feeling connected to Chris? When I quit putting it on the wine and started taking ownership that it was my thoughts doing it, I was able to figure out the thoughts that were useful and the thoughts that weren't. Like, this is just what we do was one right. that I had to divorce myself from.
Makes sense.
Yeah. All right, lady. That's so good. Thank you for bringing that one up.
Thank you for helping.
You're welcome. And everybody just says you're so cute. Everybody was like, oh, she's so cute. All right, bye.
Bye.
All right, let's see. Andrea Garland. Okay, so you guys are going to be thrilled. We have the podcast that's coming out next Friday for the public. Kathy and I decided, well, Andrea, yours is not coming up. Hang on. We recorded a podcast on Easter dinner ain't happening. Now what? So you guys will get that podcast and it's the public podcast, but it'll come out next Friday. And if you guys want to talk about it next week inside the membership, you know, we'll be happy to talk to you about it. But we're talking about how Easter will be different this year. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Are you new? I just want to make sure.
I'm brand new.
All right. So I won't do as much of this. This is
actually, I've been listening to your free podcast for a while.
Okay.
So okay. I know about the thought model and I've also Katrina Ubell. I listened to her too.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. So you'll be fine. I've heard some of this. But I just wanted to thank you first and foremost as a healthcare worker for doing this podcast during the coronavirus crisis, because it's just another excuse to shovel food down your face when you're anxious. So, yeah. And I just finished a 24-hour call yesterday in the hospital, and it was the first time that I actually had made a conscientious effort to put everything I was going to eat for 24 hours in a bag and bring it to the hospital and put it in a fridge. And I actually had to do a lot of self-talk because guess what? There's free donuts everywhere. You can basically find like 2 or 3 dozen donuts. So I pass them up on Friday. I actually opened the lid of the box of the donuts and I said, wow, you guys don't even have any left that I like. And the nurses started laughing at me. And then I came back downstairs and I opened them up again and I was like, well, now that's the shittiest donut ever. So I'm definitely not eating that.
That's funny. Isn't it amazing that nobody drops off like fruit trays for you guys?
No, of course they don't. That takes too much prep and everyone's staying away from the hospital. So I've struggled with my weight for most of my life. I'm a physician. So when I was in training, it was just like, almost like you were talking about, a way to feel better at the end of a very long shift, as I would come home after not having maybe even gone to the bathroom for 8 to 10 hours, maybe even 12. I would take a shower, and then because I hadn't eaten all day, I would just eat whatever I wanted. I mean, not like a ridiculous amount of food, but it would also involve usually one or two glasses of wine. And that was all that was needed to justify, well, that cheese looks really good. And then start making poor choices. And then I would start over and rinse and repeat. And so it was so nice, because I've actually started weighing myself on the scale up by the call room, because it's very accurate, but I only do it once a week.
Okay. You
know, I don't want to get too much into the numbers yet, because right now, having tried every diet on the face of the planet, I need to have a realistic plan. And it's just really fascinating what your brain's capable of doing. Because I tried doing keto, because a lot of my friends with really busy schedules were successful on it. And then I would be there in the middle of like a surgery, and I'm like, damn it, I want a hamburger. Like, why am I thinking about a hamburger right now? You're in the middle of surgery. So.
Because that's what your brain wants to do when it has any open gap.
Yeah.
If it's like, especially if it's not managed, like, I'm not saying you're not managing your mind, but sometimes like when it's not managed really well, like if you're, we always have these undercurrent thoughts of like, you know, this is a stressful job. This is like, this is really important. This is all these things. Yeah. It is not to say that those things aren't true.
Yeah.
But they're not useful.
Yeah.
Like,
and it's,
you know,
it's so liberating to actually not have things that are off plan. You know what I mean? Because always where I fail, it's like all or nothing with me. It's like either I'm being 100% awesome and planning things out and drinking my water and avoiding crap, you know, which crap for me is like candy, chips, you know, like things that are, you're basically just eating because they're there, that really don't fill you up. But it's just, it's crazy. So I feel good, because I actually, even though I've been up for 24 hours, I'm like, you know what? I'm actually going to start doing things for myself. So I purchased your journal this morning. I found the link. I followed my plan yesterday and, you know, weighed myself in the morning, which was probably overkill, but I had lost 2 pounds, because sometimes if you just binge while you're on call, your weight can shift quite dramatically, you know? So I felt
with everyone, like if you're stressed and you binge, then your body, like, so stress, well, you'll know this as a doctor, but you know, as you're stressed and you have anxiety levels, your body holds cortisol. Like, it's going to produce at a mass amount, and cortisol needs water, and it wants to hold water. And then you throw binge foods on top of it, which you're going to want to, like, they'll make your body like, like, think of your body will be a sponge.
Yeah.
Like, and this, it will absorb with all the water and hold so much water. That's usually what happens. That's why it's so tricky for people when they're binging. I always tell them, like, don't get obsessed with weighing and all that other stuff, because if you don't know how to manage your mind around the scale and your numbers go up, say, 6 pounds, mm-hmm. you set yourself up to be triggered to eat another 2 to 3 days, because you mismanaged your mind around what you may have only really added a half a pound.
Yeah.
And your brain is freaking out over the 6, and then you just do more damage and more damage and more damage, rather than just, you know, like, this is like, it goes back to our first caller.
Yeah.
The numbers are so irrelevant next to what you're doing and being really more aware and curious around, what are the things I'm doing for myself? How am I showing up for myself? What are the things I can learn about myself through all of this? When you're so focused on that and not as focused on the numbers just take care of themselves without you ever having to look at them.
Yeah. And the beautiful thing was, like, last night I was like, oh, I should stay up and finish all my documentation and clear my charts. And I'm like, nope. Corinne said, you need sleep and water. I was like, I was remembering sleep and
especially
water.
Especially right now. If you're going to be doing 24s, so you're going to need to get your sleep.
Yeah. So I just wanted to say thank you, because has been such a long, long journey. I've been overweight since I was 13. I wasn't that overweight in med school, but of course I gained like 80 pounds in residency. And then I didn't think I was going to get pregnant easily, got pregnant easily, Yeah, I'm an obstetrician, so that's kind of silly. Of course, I know I could get pregnant.
That happened
but anyways,
to Chris and I.
So we then I'm like, oh, now.
Done.
Yeah. So now I like, I'm like, oh, well, now I'm going to lose the baby weight. And it's just like things just kept piling on. But I think the main shift that has happened is like, I am going to be useless to anyone else unless I actually take care of myself. Like, I'm going to be, you know, one foot in the grave if I don't correct this. So
well, here's what I want you to do. So that thought, I want you to flip it.
The dark thought.
Yes, it's a very dark thought. I want you to flip it and say, I'm learning like how to really take care of myself so I can be here a long time for the people I love most.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I want you, like, I want all of you to hear this because yeah. A lot of times, like, I remember when it was a big shift for me. I literally just wrote a post about this. It's going to go out this week, talking about Logan being my inspiration. And it's a question that I've asked myself thousands of times since I started losing weight, which is, who am I showing up for today? Yeah. And when Logan was little, I didn't know how to show up for me. Mm-hmm. And it was a big ask for me to do it just for me. I just couldn't do that. I mean, I had to do what I knew how to do, which is show up for someone else first. But I was going to have to figure out how to marry losing weight and tying it to someone else because I knew I could show up like a boss for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did that. So I think like it's important, especially with you being a doctor, very often anybody who's in any kind of industry where you are essentially a caregiver, like you're in it because you want to care for other people. Like you have that desire in you.
Yeah. You
use it as a strength because you will probably lean more towards sacrificing yourself for the good of other.
Yeah.
And if that's like, and you know, unfortunately for all of us who do that, it comes with a big side dish of eating as the only way we know how to care for ourselves. Because it doesn't take much time and it feels really good.
Yeah. So, it's like a short-term solution. You feel better for about like 10 minutes while you're eating. Then you feel disgusting once everything.
Exactly. Yeah. And we will trade that short-term feeling every single time to get away from whatever our current misery is. You know, in that moment, we don't give a shit how we're going to talk to ourselves afterward. We're just like, I'm already talking to myself like shit right now. So I might as well get a break, right? That's how we sandwich that overeating in.
Yeah.
So it's like, how do you tether if you're a caregiver and you give to other people with just everything in you, how can you tether that to actually doing the things you need to do to show up for yourself? And so like, I just war gamed it by saying, well, I'm not, here's what I'm doing. I'm tying it to Logan. And every day I reminded myself of like, I'm doing this because I want Logan to see what it's like to be healthy. And I want Logan to see what it's like to go after your dreams. Yeah. You know, I wanted my son to see somebody who, you know, my mom, she provided for us, but she didn't go after her dreams.
Yeah.
She always settled for what she could get because she didn't feel like she could have anything. And I grew up thinking the same about myself and I didn't want that for him. So it was so much easier for me to actually lose my weight the last time because I figured out how to like stop making it so dramatic and start making it very love filled.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, and then the last thing I wanted to tell you about is, did you know that profanity is a sign of a high IQ? So
I have heard this and I must be a freaking Einstein.
I know. I must. So anyways, but thank you so much because you've helped me for many months and I've struggled back and forth. Like I should be able to do this on my own. I have all the knowledge and it's like, when it comes down to it, I have weaknesses. You know what I mean? I'm human just like everybody else. And I shouldn't put that much pressure on myself to have it all figured out. So your podcast has been a breath of fresh air and I'm like kind of doing it backwards because I just signed up on the first and then I just remembered water and exercise and I'm like halfway through your stuff, but I'm like, no, I need some live coaching now. So I'm probably like the fire hose person, but you know,
so we'll that's why we have three of y'all, three versions of you.
Yeah, exactly.
So. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah. Take care.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Liz. And Laura Gary, I'm going to get you after her. I haven't talked to you in a while, Laura. Laura, unless you're going to come to Queen's Club, if you're going to come to Queen's Club, let me know. If you can, I'll get you over there. and just pop it over into the Q&A. Well, I don't know what happened to Liz. Laura, I'll call on you first over in Queens Club if you don't mind. Or let's try Jeannie. Everybody check your phone. Make sure you haven't butt dialed me by raising your hand. That happens a lot. Kathy will explain. The Queens Club is for everybody who has lost over 25 pounds. Well, I do not know what's going on with Zoom. Let me pause this real quick. Well, let me just tell you. Queens Club is where if you've lost 25 pounds, you get to be in the Queens Club. They have a special coaching call. Hello.
Hi.
I think I called on someone else also, so somebody may pop up on the screen, and if they do, we'll put them back down because Zoom is taking a hot minute to get you guys in. What am
You called on me, and then Zoom crashed.
Okay. All right. Well, what are we coaching on today?
Okay. Well, before we get to the coaching, I just wanted to take a moment to say that I found Abraham Hicks before I found you.
Okay.
So once I heard you, I was like, oh my gosh, these two things fit together perfectly. And you have a way of taking Abraham's advice and making it really actionable. Oh. And I was like, yeah. That's like, okay, that's really nice. That's lovely. But, oh, this is how to do it.
Yes. So I'm a big believer in not only teaching you guys the thought stuff that goes along with it, but like, let's change all these thoughts. And this is how we get all that done. Because to me, I always feel like a lot of times in like coaching or in self-help and all that stuff, especially in therapy, there's not a lot of how. It's a lot of like ideas and talking about it, but nobody ever actually says like, do this.
Yeah. Abraham would talk about getting it out ahead of something. And I'm like, oh, when you write from your future self, that's how you get out ahead of it.
Right. Exactly. So
I really appreciate your lining the dominoes up so that they can, you know, all fall.
Well, thank you.
So anyway, I've been a member for a year.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And this is only my second coaching call. I had one call with Betsy months ago. I do a pretty good job of coaching myself because I feel like I have a lot of, tools in my toolkit. Mm-hmm. So I'm down, right about 49 pounds.
Oh my gosh. Good for you, girl.
So getting to this last, 15, 16 pounds, that's where I am. And, so I've been kicking ass and taking names. So, so when I put my weight on, it was a lot of stress eating and especially in during transition times, the kids would come home from school and I would, get into the pantry and then they would go to bed and I would get into the pantry. So, listening to you talk about that, I'm like, oh yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Okay.
So I've made, a 24-hour plan every single day since I started. So I'm in the 420 somethings of plans. I made 420 during 420. and had no 420 to celebrate, but
that's unfortunate.
So anyway,
Kathy's probably now, like, what are y'all even talking about?
It's fine. So now that we're in this, unique situation, I've been planning realistically and putting like ice cream and cookies and the stuff that I'm baking on my plan.
Okay.
So it's a realistic plan, but then I'm getting back into the habit of eating all the shit. And I know that putting things in my mouth will not stop this virus from spreading.
No. Let me just tell you, here's how we know. That most of America is trying to kill the coronavirus with wine and cake.
They're like, not working.
I know how to be safe. Wine, cake, and toilet paper. I've got all of it. I must be going to be okay. Like, it's not happening.
So I know that that doesn't work because I know that eating all the salted caramels did not fix our political system.
Yeah,
it just doesn't. So I'm recognizing that I'm getting back into an unhealthy habit.
Well, let me ask you that. Let's break the habit down. Yes. Are you, so the salty caramels and the things you're eating, are you putting them on the plan or are you not putting them on the plan and starting to grab? What's actually happening?
Okay. I'm putting stuff on the plan and eating what's on the plan. And I haven't had a salted caramel since I started D&D.
Okay. All right. So,
and now it's okay.
So now that you've put that stuff on the plan, yes, and you're eating, because I don't think you're in an unhealthy habit. I think that's a judgment that you're having. That's mm-hmm. definitely okay. a thought. This is an unhealthy habit. Like I'm putting things on the plan, I think is a lot better way to describe what's happening.
Right.
Is I'm putting unhealthy habits on the plan. So I think that's cleanup number one is these okay. are the things I'm putting on my plan now. And what we need to do is we need to be asking ourselves, one is like, look at it from the curious standpoint. Is your weight stopping or going up or slowing down or are you continuing to lose? Like, what is the result of you putting those things on the plan right now?
I've been just kind of hovering, you know, up a couple, down a couple, but not, I haven't like gained significantly.
Basically, you're just doing what we do, the normal seesaw. Like that's maintenance or plateauing.
Right.
So all of you, if your weight swings in a 5 pound range like this, so like that's what happens with me is like mine stays in this like 5 pound range just because like mm-hmm. if I have wine one night and fries, you know, I'll shoot up 3 pounds. Mm-hmm. But then like after a couple of days of water and doing my normal stuff, it swings back the other way. That's very normal. But what you guys do is you think you're dieting when you're actually just eating in a maintenance range. So you've probably found now that this is what maintenance would look like for you.
Right.
Whether you
so this is not. Maintenance at the 155, 157 range.
Yeah. And, so like and that's something, it's not even 155 to 157. What I want you to understand is like, okay, planning in this fashion and eating in this fashion is probably mm-hmm. what maintenance, no matter where I end up, that this is what it's going to look like for me.
Okay.
And the reason why I want to do that with you is so that you get out of thinking this is unhealthy, this is bad, this is all the things, because this is just a maintenance look for you. Tell me how that thought feels versus this is the bad stuff that, I'm starting to do.
That takes some of the weight out of it. So it's not as heavy a thought. It's not as much pressure on myself of the, you know, of the right and the wrong of it.
It's an alternate truth.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that is what we want to always find is the alternate truth to what you're telling yourself that's going to work to get you to decide what to do next. So if we know this is maintenance, but you actually want to lose 15 more pounds, mm-hmm. then we have to bridge the gap. So we know that planning these things are not going to help you lose weight, although they help you maintain.
Right.
So in order to lose weight, what are you willing to do to get the weight loss to start coming back down? So you look at the things that you're planning and say, okay, these things I don't actually need. Like, it's been great. It's been fun. I probably did mm-hmm. it because I was like, I can see it's a normal reaction to what was going on. But what I'm noticing is it's not solving anything. I don't know if you're enjoying it or not, but for me, a lot of times it starts off enjoyment. And then mm-hmm. it becomes something I'm doing because I'm not finding any enjoyment anywhere else. It doesn't mean I'm actually enjoying this. It just means I have a lack over here. So I'm doing this to make up for a lack.
Yeah, this is a hard time on extroverts.
That's a thought.
Yes, it is. I'm doing pretty well in maintaining, you know, my like staying centered and maintaining some like contact with my accountability group and some other friends. But, you know, I would like to be out in the world. I'm just, you know, I see the greater good of staying home.
Let me ask you this. This is a really good question. Mm-hmm. This is one of the pervasive lies we tell ourselves. Do you really want to be out in the world right now?
Oh, no. I see the greater good of staying home.
Right. Why would you ever tell yourself, I would like to be outside? I would like to be out in the world right now where all the virus resides.
No, I'm very grateful for the people who are keeping society running.
But this is everything. And I still think you're kind of missing the point.
Okay.
You will keep telling yourself, I'm an extrovert. I would like to be out there. It's like, no, you don't. You're choosing to stay home. There's nothing in you that wants to be out there, or you would be out there and be willing to risk your life, other people's lives, in order to be out there. It's a thought. Like, when you think, I would like to be out there, how does that feel in your body?
There's desire for connection and
fear
of contagion.
From a different thought. I would like to be out there feels what? Like, I desire connection with another model. Can everybody else hear me? Can you hear me?
Oh, I know what happened.
Wait. Okay, everybody else can hear me. She's getting it. So let me ask you this.
I know what happened.
Okay. I would like to be out there. How does that feel? Because I desire to be out there is another model. That's also not helping, but we're going to stick with this one. We'll put stay at home order up here. So we need to figure out, what does this feel like for you when you think, I'd like to be out there?
Well, right now being out there is scary.
Right.
I feel trapped at home. It feels scary to be out there.
Right. So I want you to really watch. We're going to stick with this model. Like, you keep trying to put like, but out there is scary, but that's not what your brain does in this model. In this model, your brain feels trapped.
Right.
Like, you can reason why you're at home, but if you keep hanging on to the idea, but I'm an extrovert and I really would like to be out there. And you know, it's hard on us extroverts. I think all of that story has you feeling trapped. And when you're trapped, guess what we do? We plan sugar.
Yes.
And then we get a fake sense
of release.
Of being, being untrapped or being released or being out of this experience. Basically, I'm giving myself an out experience, but that one's not working.
No, it's not.
But this is why I pulled this out for you, so that you can see this is what's really getting all of this going back again. It is because you are allowing yourself to indulge in little thoughts that don't help you.
Right.
Like, spending time thinking, I'd like to be out there, you need to tell yourself, it's like, that isn't a lie. There's no way I want to be out there. There's no toilet paper in the public facilities. I hear there's cooties everywhere right now. There's so much going on out there. This is better.
Yeah, staying home is definitely the place to be right now.
Yeah, like, that's the story. Like, every time you think this, you need to be like, no, staying home is the place to be right now. And if I am going to stay at home and I like to feel connection, how am I going to make that happen? Rather than thinking about the connection is really out there.
Right.
You're spending time giving out there credit for every time you felt connected. I'm going to show you one other thing, and then that's all you get.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
This is just like the other model. The connection you've always felt, it did not come from out there.
Right,
it always came from your thoughts about anything that you were doing with someone at some place or wherever, because you probably went places that an introvert would feel isolated.
Right.
That's how we know. Don't give the places credit. Mm-hmm. All of you are going to learn this hardcore in the relationships weekend, but if you will sit now and really think about every single time that you were out and about doing things, what was it that really allowed me to feel connected? It was my thoughts and what thoughts about those things. Mm-hmm. It's also like the second caller who the husband, you know, she gave connection to food. Mm-hmm. You're giving it to being outside your house. It will be fun one day when mm-hmm. we all get to go back out. I'm sure that, you know, the heavens will open, trumpets will sound, and we'll all be going outside pasty white and figuring it out. But for now, we're here.
Right.
And for now, we have to make the best of here. Make sense?
Yes. Yes.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Gets us losing weight, gets us connected to the right things. That's what we're doing.
That's what we're doing. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Jeannie. So I don't know if any of you watch the TikTok, but they have these hilarious videos where women film their husband to either, that's my babe's daddy, or I forget what the other one is. I can't remember the other song, but I'm constantly wanting to film Chris and play the song behind him. And today he ordered the shipped, and he said the second he got the notice that the shipped was on the front door, he was like, I ran downstairs to bring it in because we had paper towels and I didn't want somebody ganging up on our towels. I was like, only if I could have filmed you walking in with those paper towels. All right, Jeannie, tell me what we're coaching on.
I can't even believe I'm on here. I need this so bad. I'm going to cry.
Okay. It's okay to cry.
So, I'm just having a rough time. I'm still going to work. I work for an orthopedic practice, and I'm just going through all this shit. Like, all I ever wanted was to be the lead there, and so most everybody got laid off 2 weeks ago, and. So now I'm kind of in that position where I'm the lead and everybody's coming to me and it's stressful.
Why is it stressful?
I don't want to screw up. I don't want to upset people. I don't want people to be upset at me.
Why? What happens if they get upset with you?
I don't want them to hate me.
Why? Why not let them hate you right now? I mean, what would be the worst that happens if they come up to you and you make some mistakes and they're like, we hate Jenny. Damn. Hate runs deep. What happens in Jenny's brain if other people are hating on you?
I guess I just end up hating myself. I feel stupid.
Do you think you can control how they feel?
No, I know I can't.
But do you know I can't. Know that? Are you going through the day trying to figure out how to control how they feel?
Not really. I think after Friday, I did because I had to get on some people about what they were doing and how it wasn't working. And I was under a ton of stress anyway, because my son that morning woke up and had a seizure and dislocated his shoulder. So I was a little worried that maybe I got on him too much because I was stressed out anyway, more than usual. So I guess I'm worried that I was a little unfair.
Maybe you were. Or maybe you weren't. What does it matter, though?
I don't know.
I'll tell you why it matters. I think you're judging yourself for how you're showing up through all this stuff right now. That's usually where stress is always going to come from thoughts. But there are some thoughts that you have that I think are completely normal. Like, I've never done this before. You know, this is new to me. I'm afraid I'm going to make some mistakes. Those are things that, like, I could coach you on. But I think the real problem that we have is, I'm just wondering, do you think you're doing a good job right now? Like, if I asked you, like, given all the stuff, you're the lead, you're yelling at your kid. I don't know if you yelled. Talk sternly, whatever it is that you did, right?
I think I am. I think I'm kicking ass. I really do.
Okay, so how many times a day are you telling yourself that? It's just a lot.
Probably as much as I... Probably not as often as I should.
No.
No.
Here's how I know you're not. Because when you describe what you've been doing, like, you know, talking to your kid and doing all this, because we could put it all down here, and that would be, you've got two models that I want to show you, okay? Not everybody gets two. You're getting two. We'll just talk. We'll do stern talking to all the people. Including myself. Okay, that's your action line. This is driven from the thought, it's a lot. That's what's feeling so stressful, is taking the collection of what you have right now and allowing yourself to only think this is a lot. And I get it from all of you, because I think the last few weeks, this has been one of the thoughts I've had to really work myself around. I too get into the habit of thinking, just a lot going on right now. And it feels very stressful and overwhelming. And it feels like I will argue with you. I will be like, no, I have a binder with my list of a lot. Would you like to see it? The problem is that assessment of my life feels like stress, just like you.
Yeah.
This is the assessment of our life right now. Can we assess it in a different way? Like, I'm kicking ass, even though it's a lot. I'm showing up, even though it's a lot. I'm probably going to make some mistakes, but I swear to God, I'm figuring it out. Like, that part of it is what we're like, that's the alternate truth that could be told over and over and over again, because this thought will be like a tornado siren in your head. You're going to need another tornado siren going off, going, oh no, this is the kick-ass siren. It's like, woo, woo. I mean, you know, that siren has confetti. This one doesn't.
I need confetti right now.
Exactly. If we're stern talking to all the people, including myself, guess what? I pile a lot of shit on myself. That's all that happens. The other model that's running is this one, which is the one I like, this is, to me, is the easier one to clean up, is to just giving yourself grace and compassion. Like, there will be mistakes.
Third person that said that.
Yeah, it's like, of course there's going to be mistakes. That's part of all of this. Of course, sometimes I'm going to talk stern to my son. That's called mothering. You know, welcome to being a mom. The only moms who don't talk stern to their kids are probably the drunk ones. Watch TikTok. There's a lot of them out there right now. The other one has all your talking, like your stern talking to yourself and others, is up here as the circumstance. So all the things that are going on in your head, I've moved like your assessments to the circumstance line because you have a thought about this that I think is what's so harsh for you right now.
Sorry, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay. My car turned off, sorry.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Okay, did you ask me a question?
Yes, so like when you think about like how you talk to your kid, how you talk to your staff, and how you talk to yourself, what is your thought about that?
Mm-hmm. They need to know what direction to go in, and when they're screwing up and they need direction.
I think that's one that probably works for you, but what is one that's not working for you that probably feels, that makes you cry? Do you think you should be doing the stern talking?
No.
Right. Why do you say no? Because what?
Because I've just been thrown into this position, and I feel like I have to. I mean, I want to, but there's like no official, like, yeah, you need to be talking to these people this way and you need to be taking control. They just sort of said, you know, if you're a leader, you just lead. I'm like, well, I am a leader, but, you know, it'd be nice for you to say, yeah, this is what you need to do. And I don't want to be an asshole.
So I think here's the problem. You have all this stern talk and you think it means you're an asshole. Well, I'm an asshole. How's that feel?
Pretty shitty.
Shitty. And then the action is cry. What else? Worry.
Eat like an asshole.
Eat like an asshole. I just treat myself like an asshole. This is what I was getting at. You've got two models where you're not cutting yourself any slack. It's like, they need to tell me what to do, and they need to do this, and they need to do that, and I'm doing it wrong, and I'm going to be an asshole, and everybody's going to hate me, and like, you have this whole thing around all of it, other than, they've told me to just lead. This is the best way I know how to lead right now. And if I'm doing it wrong, I'm sure they'll let me know. But if they don't know, this is what I would just imagine. They probably don't know how to tell you. They're probably in the same boat of like, we didn't plan on all this.
Right.
We just trust Jeannie to figure it out. We just need her to like figure it out on her own while we're figuring all this out on our own. And none of us are going to get it right. And that's okay. We're just trying to get through it, which is a big difference between I'm trying to get through it perfectly versus let's just get through it.
Yeah, that makes sense. It actually feels better. I'm sure that's probably it. I mean, they tell me all the time, you know, what a good job I do, and, you know, I've been there forever, so they lean on me for a lot, so.
So they have trust in you.
Yeah.
It's just time for you to trust in yourself. They've already showed you. I'm sure they didn't wake up and go, oh my God, you know, Jeannie, she really talks to people like assholes. Let's make sure she's going to be the lead.
Yeah, that's who I want in charge.
You know who they want in charge? Someone willing to figure it out so that they don't have to stress over it.
Yeah.
And they're not, I will guarantee you, most people's bosses right now are not looking for perfection. Everybody right now, like, I think this is one of the rare opportunities we have in life where almost every single person is also scared and uncertain. You know, 2 months ago, you know, we just thought all the bosses were never scared and uncertain. They're just like playing with our lives and, you know, and doing all the things. Now we can just like pretty much put in the circumstance line. We're all scared and uncertain and don't know what the fuck's going to happen. And everybody's right. Doing the best they can right now. And when you really just think about all of us doing that, it takes some pressure off of yourself of being like, okay, I don't need to be perfect. I don't think perfectionism is the gold standard right now anywhere.
Yeah. Right. Thank you. That helps.
Yeah. So what are you going to practice thinking every day?
I didn't hear you. What?
What are you going to practice thinking every day over and over again?
I'm not an asshole.
No, I'm Jeannie. I'm kicking ass. Like you said it. You said it so convincingly. You were just like, no, I think I'm kicking some ass right now. And I'm like, all right, let's just do that a lot. Like, put more fuel on that fire.
Yeah.
That's on this.
I am. I really am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just need a good cry and to talk it out. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Okay. I just got to keep remembering that.
Well, I hope it's okay because I cry like 4 times a week right now. Like, I know my best friend must think that something's wrong with, like, I'm like every day I'm just like, oh my God, I'm out for a run. Best day ever. Signs out. What? And then the next day I'm like, oh, I'm just going to have to cry. You don't have to deal with it. And that's my Marco Polo, like every day. You never knows what's going to pop up on the screen.
That's, I've done that for 2 days in a row now. I'm like, oh my God, I must be clinically depressed or something. What is wrong with me?
I think that for the first time ever that we are all thrown into something that makes us really realize how human we are.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that before all of this, I think we almost all thought we weren't human and that we were somehow going to be perfect and we were just running around people pleasing. We were like doing all these things, right? And we're really faced with shit. We're real humans who actually do, like, we're actually scared. Like, we all thought we were scared 2 months ago when somebody didn't comment on our dress.
Right.
You know, and like now it's like, no, this is fear. I can't get toilet paper.
For sure. Yeah. And I think I got through the first couple of weeks. I just floated through, like cheerleaded my way through and like, it's all going to be fine and we're okay. And I've still got a job and it's great. And then like crap kept happening over and over and it just got to be too much to where I couldn't cheerlead through. And then I'm just a wreck. And here I am.
Well, and I think this, I actually was talking to Kathy about this because I don't think Kathy will mind if I tell you this, but we were discussing the other day, she had a real hard day and, we were both just talking about how we recorded a podcast and I cried like a baby on the podcast. We were both just talking about how like, God, we barely can even think of something and we're just bawling, you know, this is very normal during the cycle. I used to teach something called the 4 stages of weight loss, but there's like these 4 basic emotional stages people typically go through. We are all in the uncertainty and I don't know if we're going to figure this out and what's going to happen stage where after a while, like once you get into that one, like all the emotion kind of comes in. That first stage, I think you went through, which is like, this is all brand new. I'm going to put on a happy face. I'm going to look for the positive. I'm going to do all this stuff. And we always move into stage two, no matter what. And then once you go through stage two, where everything kind of bottoms out a little bit, it's like, it's not exciting. It's not fun anymore. It's not. And I'm not saying that coronavirus was like fun and exciting for a lot of us, but in the beginning we went, those of us who can quickly adapt to change and be the first person to lead and be the first person to figure out like, okay, I know you guys are scared. Like, we tend to be the people who step up first. We hit our stage two finally, where we've run out of that part. And now we're like, some people just are like, oh my God, shock and all, boom, flat, you know? And then we kind of lead through that. Well, eventually we tap out and we have to go through our stage two also. And so we're all kind of swimming in this stage where we're figuring it out. And then we'll hit stage three, which is, we start getting comfortable with the uncertainty. We start finding new normal routines. We start figuring out how to give ourselves grace and compassion, start slowing down, like not having to just run so fast to feel good, but we start figuring out, all right, what's the new normal going to be? Let's get good at that. That moves us into stage three, where we're not really competent or anything, but we're a little bit more self-assured now.
Yeah.
And then we'll move to stage four, which is where you're like, okay, I've settled myself down. I'm in a groove and I'm just doing. So it's very normal. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with me. We just all move through these cycles at different paces. Some people, you know, some people are just their brain. Like my mom is one. Their brains are just not wired to, when something big happens, to immediately be like, come stand behind me, I'm leading the charge. Mm-hmm. Some of us jump out front, and some of us need to just follow. And then, but those of us who jump out front, at some point we need somebody to come relieve us for a little bit, because we have to go through our own stuff. And that's just normal. That's, every human does it.
I'm so glad to hear you say that, because sometimes I get upset. I'm like, you know, why can't other people jump up and do this? You know, I can do it, so I don't understand why it's so hard for other people. But hearing that makes total sense. It's just where we're at, and other people aren't there.
Some of us have the skill to be able to lead first, and not, like, we can just set aside the fear and the worry and stuff.
Yeah.
For the, like, the, almost like the adrenaline rush of being the, like, I'm going to be the strong one. Right.
Right.
Some people, their skill set, like Kathy and them, like on the team, like, I'm the one who will shoulder, like, let's go, this is how we're going and everything. They shoulder the part, the stability part, where when the leader is doing all that, they're like, okay, I can get in line. I can follow you. I can't make a decision. I can't do any of that stuff. But what I can do is I can follow your lead really well, which our problem is we're not really good at necessarily always following other people's lead. And so we're going to need them to be stabilizing things when we need our break. There, think about the people in your life. You probably have people in your life. If you're like me, you have surrounded yourself with others who, when you are at your low and when you can't lead, they keep things going.
Yeah.
They may not be the one who can blaze the trail, but they for sure can keep everything together. They've got all the duct tape.
Yes. Right.
And yeah, I have a lot of that around me. Like, my husband is like that, you know. It's just like, I surround myself with that. I am not the stabilizing force. I'm usually the leader. So there's, all of us have our own skills and talents. Every single one of us on this call, there's no better or whatever. It's just, we just have different ways that we respond to things because of how we think, and we have different skills. And so, like, when you're looking around and you want somebody else to lead, you need to tell yourself, that is not true. You know what I want around me? I already know how to lead. What I want is, when I'm not leading, when I'm tired, I have somebody who I know has my back. It can just keep things going for me. Yeah. And we usually have those. If you know what you're really looking for, it's so much easier to find peace and relaxation in your life. If you think that you need more people like you, often you don't.
Yeah. Yeah. I just need a little break.
Yeah. And the break will come from your thoughts.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, it makes sense. That really helped.
I'm glad. I'm glad.
All right.
Thank you for being so honest.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye. Okay, let's see. What time are we at? Oh, we're at 1:30. Okay, I'm going to call it here because Mama has to go potty and get something to drink. So we've been going a good hour and a half. Guys, if you wanted to get coaching and you didn't get coaching, you can take it to Ask Coaches. You also can take it to Facebook. A lot of times I'm in the Facebook group answering questions. The coaches are in the Facebook group. We have mentors. We have other tribe members who are really good at answering questions and who are also really good. Y'all wouldn't even believe how many coaches we actually have inside this group, probably over 100. So they're not on my staff, but they've all been trained at the same places I have. They have just as good a coaching chops as I do. And then I will see Queen's Club at 2:00. And let me go over the schedule for the week real quick. If you don't know, we're doing All in April this month, and All in April is me. I'm either coming live or I'm doing a post every single day, so it may not be a live every day, but it's like if I'm doing a call, I'm not going to do a live in the morning, but if I'm not doing a call that day, I'm doing a live with you guys. It is where I am just sharing with you guys the big four, which is what am I in control of today? How am I moving today? Clean body, clean mind, which is this is what I'm doing for my body and what I'm listening to today. And then who am I reaching out to today for that connection piece? It is just optional, something fun for us to do together as a community. It does not in any way mean you have to participate, but a lot of people like participating in stuff like that because it kind of just one little thing that they can do to feel more connected to people who are looking for this April to be all in on themselves and all in on showing up for themselves while also all this other stuff is happening. Okay. You can find, if I do a live, we will be putting that in the private member podcast. So you don't have to worry about missing those things if you're not in the Facebook, but you can find All in April by going to the Facebook group. If you look in the units, all the posts are saved there from me. If you ever just want to read them and comment. And then the calls this week, tomorrow night, I am doing a call at 5 p.m. Central Time. The topic will be realistic planning and the hunger scale. I will be talking about little things that you can do and try around realistic planning and the hunger scale. I'll probably coach a little and do a little Q&A. It'll be about an hour of just talking about those two topics. So if you're a newbie and you are taking the No BS right now and you've gone through phase one or you're in the middle of phase one and you want to hear more about realistic planning and more about the hunger scale or ask questions, feel free to come or listen to the replay. On Wednesday, April 8th at 5 p.m., office hours with coaches. It'll be a call just like this with MJ this week, who's one of our coaches. Thursday, April 9th, I believe that's a, let me make sure I got the right time, at 5 p.m. I don't know why that's not showing. Anyway, at 5 p.m. Thursday, business coaching with me. So if you have business questions and you want to be talking about any kind of business stuff, you can come. And this is for people who are like in new leadership positions or you run your own business or anything like that. I'm not giving out business advice. Like I'm not going to tell you how to like do something. But what I am going to do is coach you through business mindset. And then Saturday, April the 11th will be the Q&A at noon or at 9 a.m. I'm sorry, inside the Facebook group with me. And that's your calls for the week. All right, guys, y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.